This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
I'm Ray.
And I'm Dean, and we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean, and it's been exactly 10 years from the release of their chart-topping ARIA-nominated album, Harlequin Dream, that Sydney's Boy and Bear are back, and it's with a brand new single, Abraham, alongside the announcement of the new EP, Lost Dreams. And this timing is no coincidence, with the new songs on the EP dug up and repurposed directly from their Harlequin Dream studio time.
With three new songs retrieved from the Harlequin Dream studio archives lying in wait on their upcoming EP, including the blissful Abraham, the jauntier motives of Eye of the Canyon, and the neo-folk charm of Mexico, the trip down Boy and Bear memory lane was not initially a journey the band had ever planned on taking. With all three tracks written by the band themselves, the eventual road to Lost Dreams initially started with actual loss, with the EP's finished singles seemingly lost in the void before the mastered files were saved and pulled from the depths.
It sounds like such a journey. And joining us now, ahead of the EP launch and Australian regional tour, we've got John Hart from Boy and Bear with us. Thanks for being with us this morning, John.
Oh, great to be here. Nice to hear the intro too. Like, gives me, it kind of sets the scene, takes me back.
I mean, it's a lot. So whose idea was it to go back and find the lost tracks from Harlequin Dream to put together this new EP?
Dean, that's a bit of a loaded question because I don't know exactly which one of the two people it was. I was there in the room. We were making our most recent album, our self-titled album, and we'd finished for the day because nothing good for us happens after dinner. But some of us wanted to have a bit of a listen to music, and we were listening back, and somebody stumbled on in their iTunes some of these tracks that were the B-sides from Harlequin Dream. And when I say B-sides, songs that we recorded, but we kind of didn't have a place for on the album at the time. And we listened and we thought, oh, that sounds pretty good. This is actually, you know, they're not bad. And then I think it was Tim, my brother, went, we got to do something with these. We got to do something. They're just too good of songs to be kind of just lying dormant in the hard drive. And I guess we thought they were lying dormant in the hard drive. And then we went searching for the masters and we couldn't find them. I think we must have misplaced, in inverted commas, a backup drive somewhere along the way. And then we got in touch with Phil Eck in Seattle. Phil mixed Fleet Foxes and various amazing things back in the day, and he did that record for us. And we got in touch with him, and he mentioned that he couldn't find a backup either. So he suggested then we chase up with the people who did the mastering over in New York. And so we got in touch with them, and they had to dig into their storage unit in New Jersey, and they found a backup file of these three tracks. So we'd gotten excited, and then we couldn't find the masters, and we thought, oh, this could be a problem. And then they sort of got resurrected from the depths. And then Tim kind of said, we got to do this, guys. We got to do this. And we got in touch with Vaughn Flanagan, who actually did the artwork on the first one, back, you know, on Harlequin Dream back in the day. And he was excited. And then he pitched an artwork back. And suddenly, when I saw the artwork and I heard the songs and then title, we came up with the title, it all made sense to me. And I thought, we got to do this. As a music fan, I would love this if bands I love did something like this, or artists I love. So yeah, it just felt like the right time.
It sounds like such a crazy journey that you have to, you've got no other choice.
Exactly. Yeah. And like I say, like when you love the music someone's done, and then you find something that you didn't know existed and they put it out, it's a pretty cool feeling. So we just wanted to be able to offer that same thing. And it felt good to us. If the songs didn't feel good, we'd be never talking about them. But when we listened back, we thought, oh, you know, these easily could have been on the album, but they just didn't pair as well with the other things we'd chosen. So we kind of put them to one side. But it's really, really nice for them to have their own life now.
Did you ever feel like in the process of trying to find these long lost recordings that maybe you would just have to re-record them and rejig them to like make them all over again?
See, that would have been a bridge too far. That's the problem, Rach. I think that what I've noticed when you're working with, like, because there's five of us and it's very collaborative, that you've got to take the momentum when it's there. And so the momentum, because some people were like, I don't really like the idea of putting out old stuff. Let's just think about new stuff. There was, you know, we had a very democratic, lengthy discussion about whether we should or shouldn't do it. And I think if we hadn't found the masters, then the naysayers would have prevailed, and the tracks would have remained lost. So I was excited that we found them.
Well, the fact that you just mentioned there is five of you that make up Boy and Bear, and you all come from your own music backgrounds before teaming up together, some would say when it comes to writing the perfect song, surely five people is too many chefs in the kitchen. How do you make the songwriting process work with so many people involved?
Maybe part of the thing is we've never really tried to put into words how it works, and we've just let it evolve and go from one thing to the next. I think probably the key point is that, maybe not the key point, a thing I've observed is that we weren't just mates who went to school together who started a band. We all had our different projects, and apart from me and my brother, who obviously grew up together, the rest of the guys were doing their own things musically, and then we came together, and the first priority was like making the best music we could, and we didn't have those like things that not wanting to hurt somebody's feelings because you've been mates for years. Not that we're like nasty to each other, but the priority was always making the best possible song. And so I think that means sometimes your idea doesn't work or whatever, and you have to just kind of step back and let the momentum go on something. And that's, I think, a bit of a skill. In hindsight, I think it's a skill. At the time, you just kind of worked with it naturally. But I think that's always been the thing. Go, all right. Like, we rarely disagree on a final outcome. Like, we might have a robust discussion, and there might be one person who really believes strongly in something, but once you can actually listen back to it, like, the best idea tends to, like, make itself apparent, and then we can just at least go with it then together.
You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean, and we are chatting with John from Boy and Bear about their new EP.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean. We are chatting with John from Boy and Bear about their new EP, Lost Dreams, and the newest single from it called Abraham.
Well, you've performed at some pretty epic places. You know, there's the Opera House. You've performed in massive festival stages, some of the biggest ones, and yet you'll be gracing some of the humble burbs of Australia on your EP tour. Is there something about the smaller spaces or smaller towns that you connect to that the bigger events can't provide?
Absolutely. There's a completely different energy. One thing is, like, people have sometimes asked me, friends and what have you, do you find it nerve-wracking when you play in front of a big crowd? And I'm sort of like, no, it's almost the opposite. Like, the big crowd, you sort of feel a little bit removed. There's often, like, a, you know, a barrier between the crowd and the stage, and it sort of almost feels a bit more anonymous. Whereas when you play, like you mentioned, some of these smaller rooms, some pub club rooms, people are right there, and it's sort of like you can see the body language on somebody's face whether they're enjoying it or not. And I think there's an excitement that goes with that, because it reminds you, one, of what it was like when you're starting out. And two, I think it's a cool thing when you get out of, like, capital cities, because capital cities, in my opinion, are a little bit spoiled for choice in terms of music, because most artists who are touring go through there. So people go and watch what they want to watch, and if they're not really into the band then they don't, or the artist, they don't go along. Whereas in a regional centre, you're more likely to get people who come along with a friend or who go, oh, there's something on, I'll just go and check it out. I've heard of the band, or I've heard one of their songs. And so you get that opportunity to try and really win people over with a good show. And I think I always like to feel like some sense of underdog in the thing. So it's nice to feel like, oh, we've got to really make a thing here so that people want to come back next time we come along. So I kind of take that satisfaction in getting to, like you say, some of the smaller towns. And it's and the other thing is, you get to drive around in a van. And you get to see places, whereas if you're in Australia and you're just playing sort of Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Perth and Hobart or whatever, you're just getting in a plane, airports with gear, I can tell you that's not a fun thing. Whereas once you kind of load it into the van and rolling around, it feels a lot more compact. So I like that.
I feel like that gives you a real energy of being able to, you know, create new songs as well, because you're all stuck totally in this space together for long, drawn-out periods of time. So why not? Now,
absolutely.
Speaking of some of the big shows and the small shows that you've all been involved in, what has been the greatest performance experience you've had?
Like you mentioned the Opera House, and that's pretty high up there for me just because of what it is as a Sydney sider. And I went along to like a classic concert with my aunt there once and, you know, saw the Sydney Symphony Orchestra. So that was pretty special. But then we also played as part of a film festival that was running when we were on tour in America. We played at Red Rocks in Colorado, and that massive amphitheater. If you don't know it, just Google Red Rocks Amphitheater. It's incredible. So we played there, and that was seeing the names of the artists who'd signed the wall in the green room was just incredible. So that was a crazy thing because we were on the other side of the world doing something like that. And then I reckon that's the two. They're my two picks.
So beyond the three songs being released on this EP, is there anything else in the works for Boy and Bear?
Yeah, we sort of we like to kind of keep moving. Like once we've recorded, we just sort of keep writing ideas because what else are you going to do? Like we want to be able to have more songs coming along, and the nature of album release things is they often happen a few months after when we're needing to press vinyl even more than that. So you've already recorded it. And so you're like, well, what are we going to do? So we've been working on new ideas. We've also been into the studio and recorded some different versions of some of the songs off this album, just because it's often fun for us to have a bit of a play of them acoustically as well. Like a song for us should always work in a really stripped back form too. Like we might want to put in, you know, electronic elements and synthesizers and electric guitars and things, but then we also want the song to be able to work if we've just got a couple of acoustic guitars and a double bass and a piano. So I don't know what we'll do with that yet. We like to just record things and then figure out later how to exactly kind of put it out. But right now, yeah, we'll kind of get on the regional run, and we'll probably get our thinking caps on and think about what the rest of the year is going to look like.
So on the regional run, obviously the focus is going to be this EP, but are you also going to be jumping back into like the Harlequin Dream album as well and, you know, play all your big numbers?
Yeah, I think we tend to do that anyway. Like we're not those people who kind of go, we're just going to play the obscure songs at a show to keep ourselves interested. We want people to hear what they want to hear, more or less. But we also want to be able to introduce things to people that they might go, oh, I should go and find that song on the album. That kind of was an interesting song in that spot in the set. And, but yeah, we spend quite a bit of time sculpting the set for the live situation because we want it to feel like it has a really nice flow to the evening, so that when people come in, there's something that kind of makes them feel like, oh great, this is why I came along at the start, and then takes them on a little bit of a journey. And then we tend to end with, you know, songs that we think people will know and enjoy hearing too. So hopefully there's a bit of something for everybody.
Love. Well, John, thank you for chatting with us this morning on Joe Breakfast. You can check out where they're stopping along the tour at their website, boyandbear.com, and we're going to listen to one of the recovered tracks right now.
This is Abraham. Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy Podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.